Well, hello there. Did you miss me? I hope you did because I miss you and it's been a while. I missed my time slot last week, and the reason is that I'm still going back to the drawing board about this whole podcast series and trying to figure out what direction to take it in that makes the most sense, to make a long story short. And I just need more time to figure that out. I have pretty much like 85 to 95% of the idea marinating in my brain right now, but I just want to really make sure that I know what I'm doing before I pull the trigger on this. So I appreciate your patience. Of course, that goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. And yeah, hopefully more exciting things to come. Church announcements, nothing really crazy, honestly. That pretty much was the church announcement. And then again, also, my newsletter sign up is still alive and well. Go to the link tree in the bio of my social media. And oh, I did change my name on that. So that will be updated on all of these episodes that I have on here thus far. And if you are enjoying what we're building over here as a community, won't you consider giving me a 5-star rating on whatever platform you use to listen to this podcast? I would appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. Alrighty, let's get into it. And I'm going to be really honest and preface this by saying that this is probably going to be like a boomer type rant for the most part, if I'm trying to be objective and look at this outside of my own body. Like, it can go either way. You could either feel me on this or you could not feel me on this. And either one is totally up to you. And it's fine either way. And I want to just come on here briefly and talk about Fashion Week. And if you follow me on TikTok in particular, you may have seen a post that I made that got a lot more traction than I thought it would, to be honest. Like, it was just kind of like a ranty post where I was like, oh, let me just spew what's ever on my mind right now and hit upload and be done with it. And like, I didn't really expect it to resonate with that many people, but there were hundreds of you in the comments, and some of you agreed, some of you disagreed. And again, you guys know how we roll over here. That's fine with me either way, as long as we keep it respectful. And it garnered so much interest in the comments that I was like, okay, it would be a mistake on my part not to have this conversation over on the pod and like further explain myself. So that's what I'm here to do today. So that video, if you were to go see it on my TikTok page right now, the title was kind of like cheeky, like it was kind of meant to stir up emotions, but it was called The End of New York Fashion Week. And it was inspired by a TikTok clip that I saw of a lot of young people who were descending on Soho in droves for, from what I could gather when I tried to research it, it was an event that was sponsored by an influencer, and it was some type of like giveaway situation with Rick Owens and Margiela, I believe. And basically it was kind of like a Kai Cenat, however you say his name, takes over NYC situation, but make it fashion. Like, it was hundreds of kids, and I'm saying kids loosely, like, you know, Gen Z is by no means are you guys little babies, but kids by my standard, because I am an elder millennial, and you know, I look back on those years and think, oh, I was such a baby. So I'm not saying it to be mean. So if I say kids, you know that's who I'm talking about. But yeah, there was a ton of kids who came out in droves to Soho to partake in this influencer event during New York Fashion Week. And my video, to make a long story short, was just saying that Fashion Week is, at least in New York, it is a shell of its former self. And it used to be a serious event for industry people. And yes, there were people who weren't in the industry, but who loved fashion, who were able to be part of the festivities every now and then. Like, of course, there's tons of people from back in the day who had stories of crashing a fashion show and being let in without a ticket and being able to stand all the way in the back and look at the collections. Like, that was always the thing. That was always a beautiful moment when it happened. Like, oh my God, you know, I got into Proenza fashion show and I got to stand in the back and see the new collection. Like, that was a big deal that you could sneak into a show without any invitation. And when you did do that, You were respectful above all else. You weren't trying to cause a stir. You weren't trying to draw attention to yourself. You were just there to partake in the love of the clothing, which is why we're all here to see the collection. And that essence, I think, based off of what I've seen, I'm not living in New York currently, so I can't say it's a firsthand account, but based off of all of the evidence that I have seen, that feeling of we're all here to revel in the artistry of it all, I think that that feeling is gone. Or it's in very short supply, at least compared to what it used to be. And I'm going to take a little water break. Hold on a second. So, yeah, I feel like today's era of Fashion Week is mainly for socialite purposes. Like, you're there to be seen. You're there to network, which, yes, it was always networking, but not networking in the way that it is now. Like, now it's very much so I need to be here for my own personal brand, not I'm here because I'm a writer at the New York Times or at Vogue or Elle or any of these other places, or I'm a buyer or a merchant or any of those things in which you have a greater purpose for being here at Fashion Week. Now it's very much so, I'm my own little personal celebrity, which is what influencers are these days. Maybe they're not on the silver screen and all that jazz, but they have their own mighty little followings. And so they're all personal celebrities. And they're here on behalf of that to be able to tell their following, hey, look where I'm at. Look what I'm doing. Look who I'm sitting next to. Blah, blah, blah. Look what I'm wearing. Get ready with me to go to this show. Get ready with me to go to this Fashion Week party. Like, that's the crux of the content that's pouring out now. And it's not really about Fashion Week for the fashions. The fashions at Fashion Week now are kind of an afterthought. And what it is now is, look at me. I happen to be here while this thing is going on around me, which is crazy because this thing is the reason why we're all here, or at least that's how it used to be once upon a time. So, how did we get here? I think that it's been a slow march towards death. That sounds very dramatic, but that's the best way to describe it. I think that it's been a slow march towards death since, I believe, 2009 was the year that New York Fashion Week was no longer being held at Bryant Park and it got moved to Lincoln Center. I think once we got rid of the tents in Bryant Park around 2009, that's when it started to go downhill. Because the tents at Bryant Park, I apologize if you guys can hear the car in the background. It's Atlanta. Their engines are very loud and obnoxious. But I think the tents at Bryant Park was New York Fashion Week at its peak. And for the record, I know this is sounding like really boomer of me, but I am not a nostalgic person. I don't crave for the past. I am very future centric. I'm very forward thinking. But at the same time, if something is not as good as it used to be, then that's just the truth. And I can't deny that either. So I want to be clear. I don't yearn for the past just for the sake of the past. I'm not that kind of person. And I can objectively say in my mind that Bryant Park Fashion Week was so much better than what it's become now. Overall, of course, there are things that have changed in Fashion Week that I think are for the better. I think it's good that we're seeing more people of color or people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, people who are, I mean, there have always been queer people in fashion, but we're seeing more visibility there. We're seeing visibility across the board. Of course, body positivity is also a big one as well. A lot of that stuff was non-existent back then. Like, it was not unheard of for a black model to go to a casting and be told as soon as she walked in the door, like, oh yeah, we're not doing black girls this season. Bye. Like, ridiculous things that would never fly today because the response from the community would be explosive and rightfully so. And a lot of that stuff and a lot of the ickier parts of the business were shrouded in secrecy for so long. And now that fashion has become more of a known thing, and more people are involved in it and talking about it, a lot of the crap that they used to get away with before, they can't get away with that anymore. And I think that that is wonderful. At the same time, while there is a lot of good things that have happened from opening up the space, I also think that there's a lot of bad things that have happened from opening up the space. Primarily, I think that letting in people who are not true diehard lovers of the craft, it has really turned high fashion into a lot of the same hamster wheel effects that is happening in fast fashion. You know, fast fashion gets a lot of a bad rep, rightfully so, for being incredibly fast, but a lot of people let luxury high fashion skate by and assume that they're doing everything by the book and that our industry is not mass producing everything. And I mean, I'm not in the industry anymore, but you know what I mean. You know, that industry is not mass producing and not wasting materials and treating employees badly and doesn't have good workers' rights. Like, a lot of people bypass luxury brands and just assume that everyone over there is being treated fairly or that things are reasonable over there, and that's absolutely not true. So, with the rise of all of these new people that have come into this world, they're expecting a cadence that is similar to fast fashion. And that is why now designers have all of these additional collections that they didn't have before. Like before, it was not uncommon for a designer to just show twice a year. Now there's so many different collections that they design for. A lot more brands are doing resort. Once upon a time, resort was just for like really, really, really high ticket designers because it wasn't feasible. It wasn't affordable for a lot of smaller brands. And it still isn't now, but now there's this expectation of newness all the time. And brands that would have never traditionally shown certain collections like resort and pre-fall, now they have to do it to keep up with the demand from all of these new people. And for many, many years, showing twice a year was perfectly fine. But once we opened up the space, now it's not enough because we're ushering in that customer who's used to seeing newness at the same level and rate of fast fashion. And so that's created a whole snowball effect that has had really terrible consequences for the industry, just in terms of like brain drain. Like, it's so hard to constantly come up with a new collection that often. And obviously, tons of resources and materials are being used. Tons of energy and you know, time and effort is being used. And that person or these people are not even going to appreciate those garments for the long stretch of time that we would like them to. Like, once they consume that collection, they're like, okay, what's next? What's next? And it leads to creative burnout ultimately. And designers suffer for it. And most famously, for example, Marc Jacobs has been very audible about his frustration with how things have changed and the fashion calendar has become more packed than it has ever been. And he's now just completely thrown up the middle finger and been like, listen, this is not a sustainable timeline and I'm not going to do it. I'm an artist. I need time. There are too many vultures in this space now and I'm not doing it. So now, he's just completely done away with the fashion calendar. He shows off calendar by invitation only. He shows when he wants. He's not concerned with keeping up with the fashion zeitgeist anymore, and I don't blame him. And I'm sure if other designers had the name and the prestige like Marc Jacobs does, they would totally do the same thing. And on top of, you know, reason one is that it's becoming more like fast fashion. There's such a cheapening of how hard it is to be in this industry now. And part of that is the newcomer's fault, and also a big part of that is the industry's fault. Because one of my biggest gripes about the fashion industry, as well as like, you know, entertainment media, like these industries that are made to look really glamorous on the outside, I think that it's a horrible decision to keep people from knowing how hard we all work to make this stuff a reality. It's really hard work. It's really tedious. It's like Honestly, it's like working on Wall Street without the money. Like, I'm laughing, but I'm actually not joking. It's the level of hard work that people have when they work on Wall Street, how it's 40 hours is not even bare minimum. Like, 40 hours is like you're on vacation. Bare minimum is like 50 plus. People are workhorses. They are compulsive. They are terrible. Sociopathic, like, and everyone in that space is like living and dying by this stuff. And that's not okay, right? Yes, I agree. Full stop. That's not okay. You shouldn't work in an environment where people are like that. But my issue is that none of that reality is actually being depicted so that people can change things. It's not happening. What's happening is all of these newcomers, because they're not really working in the capacity that people who are in the industry full time are working. They're not working to that capacity. So they're not in a position to advocate for anyone. And so, yes, it's always been looked at as a glamorous industry, but then the influencers and the new people don't help change that narrative. I think they only help double down on that narrative because all we see on their end are brand collabs and PR unboxings and this, that, and the third. And it's all the really, really fun stuff. But that's 10% of the business. And the other 90% is really hard, grueling work that deserves respect. And a large part of why that's underpaid is because society doesn't appreciate women and doesn't appreciate the arts and doesn't appreciate queer people. And this is an industry that intersects between all of that. So as a result, it's a heavily underpaid industry. But we are getting eyes on the industry for all the wrong reasons. People are not there because they care about how hard you work. They care about how intense the design process is. They're there for the very last 10% of the business that's actually fun for them, which is the unboxings, going to the PR events, going to the parties and the fashion week stuff. Like, they're there for that part. And because they're only showing that part to their legions of followers, then it cheapens the industry overall. And the public perception is that people who work in this industry don't really do anything. I hope I explained that well. That's the best way I can think of to explain it. And it's just made for a really miserable time for a lot of folks. And I feel for my colleagues who are still in the business who I liked because it's getting harder for them to do their thing because they have to now compete in that space with people who, in their way, yes, they are giving the brand visibility. And we are living in a time where attention is currency. And once upon a time, that attention came from industry people, right? It came from the journalists who were writing about the collection for Vogue and the New York Times and whoever else. And it came from buyers and people who were industry titans in that space. And then it came also to a small degree from really, really loyal clients of the house and some of your top tier clients who constantly spend money with you. You would invite them to the fashion show to see the collection as a courtesy, as a thank you for being a loyal customer. So that's who used to be at Fashion Week. But now, because attention is currency, every one of those people who I just mentioned is now vying for space alongside influencers and the like who are just there because they draw attention. But the thing about attention, especially attention in this day and age, is that it's very fleeting. And fashion has put itself in a really uncomfortable place where it used to be rightfully criticized for being super exclusionary and inaccessible to the public. And now that it's become more visible, the attention that it gets is not as appreciative of all the work that goes in to creating these things, of all of the time and effort it takes to stitch something or hand embroider something. Like, we have invited people in the space who don't care about that. And that's very disheartening, especially when you're on the creative end of things. I'm in buying, or I wasn't buying, excuse me. I was in buying, and that's not nearly as creative as designing, of course, but there's a mutual understanding and respect of what it takes to make an item. All of the hours that it takes to construct a garment, all of the hours that it took to hand embroider this thing. And there's a mutual respect there of all of the time and energy and love and blood, sweat, and tears that you had to put into this thing that creates, just like a like an imaginary, it's not imaginary, but just like a an intangible feeling of camaraderie. And you lose that because this new person who's sitting front row, they don't care that it took 800 hours to hand embroider this gown. They don't care about that. They're going to take a picture of it, put it on their Instagram story, and be like, "Oh my God, guys, look at this gown. OMG." And then 2 hours later, they're going to post something else that their fans are going to be salivating over. And very few of those fans are even going to remember that they saw that 800-hour hand embroidered gown. And all of this hard work has been confined to a couple of seconds of space in this person's mind, when before it used to be revered and adored and appreciated by a room full of people who understand how much work it took to get here. And yes, that room had its flaws. It was exclusionary in a lot of ways, and that's whack, and we shouldn't strive for that. But that room was full of people that were far more likely to give a damn. And that is definitely worth noting. And I don't want to dwell on this too long. There's more I could say, but honestly, I just wanted to come in here, make a quick little point, and hightail it on out. But as always, I love to hear from you. Let me know what you think. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Are you somewhere in the middle? And let's have a bigger conversation about this. And if there are points that you have thought of that I didn't say, feel free to shoot me a DM and be like, hey, or an email, however you want to reach me, you can. And let's chop it up, The best part of this is hearing from you, as always. You guys know what it is. And thanks so much for tuning in. Have a good one. Bye.